All right, let's get to the maybe bigger news for some people of the day, and that is Gabe Davis reportedly visiting the Buffalo Bills. It appears that way from all accounts. Even Josh Allen kind of talked about it. Gabe Davis going to be in town after visiting the Pittsburgh Steelers. So a lot of questions about this, Matt. I guess your overall like answer to why would the Bills do this? Why would the Bills be interested in signing Gabe Davis? What's your answer to that? If they bring him in, they're obviously interested in some capacity. Doesn't mean they're going to sign him. Who knows? What's your answer to why would they do that?
I feel pretty strongly about this because I kind of think it's a no-brainer as long as it's not an unrealistic contract ask. And I don't think he would be even visiting if they knew what he was asking and they weren't able to afford it. So it doesn't feel like it's going to be anything crazy.
Well, I would let me touch on that first. I don't think it. I think he'll get the vet minimum because he's already been paid $11.5 million by the Jaguars this year.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy.
And any money he gets from any team just offsets that money from the Jags. Like, if you give him a $2 million contract, he's getting $9.5 million from the Jags. So just to stop you for a second, I mean, I can't imagine he would be like, oh, give me $6 million because it's just offsetting the money anyway.
Okay, so that's a good point. Thank you for bringing that up because that does matter. Okay, here's my thought. Why would the Bills be interested in bringing him in? I think that he can do a very similar job to what Mac Hollins did for this team last year, and that turned out to be a valuable role that the Bills definitely leaned on a little bit. Now, the easy pushback to that would be, well, Gabe doesn't play special teams and Mac Hollins does. But then I would say Gabe would be making this roster over players like Elijah Moore, Curtis Samuel, or Tyrell Shavers. So none of them are necessarily special teams aces who I think they can count on a lot. Now, once again, because I've been dealing with this all day, a common response would be, well, wouldn't you want Tyrell Shavers because he is going to contribute on special teams and he is going to have a more special teams role. Shout out to Carl Jones for this stat. The Bills have punted 12 times in the preseason. How many of those has Tyrell Shavers been on the field for? Do you know?
I'm going to say zero.
One. So he's been on the field for one of those 12 punts. So now we're talking about the special teams role, and it's really not that big. Then the other comment that I've gotten from a lot of people is, I want to go with the youth. I want the upside of the young player. Tyrell Shavers and Gabe Davis are the exact same age. Tyrell Shavers has been on the practice squad for a couple of years. Yeah. Gabe Davis scored 4 touchdowns in a playoff game. Like, I'm not saying that Gabe Davis is going to ever come back and do that. But Gabe Davis was his most effective when he was the 4th or 5th guy on the wide receiver depth chart, and that is what he would be doing here once again. I think it is an absolute no-brainer.
Emily says, I guess the bad blood with Davis and the Bills organization, Bills Mafia, from his last game or two here is gone. I don't think there's bad blood. I think there was a tough game, and Tyler Bass missed a field goal, and people were getting on Tyler Bass, and Gabe Davis came to his defense on the sidelines. That's pretty much what happened there. So I don't think there's anything there. No, I will tell you personally, I know this. I know some people close to Gabe. Gabe loves Buffalo. He's a great relationship with the organization and with Josh Allen. He'd love to come back to Buffalo, but he's also a free agent. He's going to survey his options. Mm-hmm. If the Pittsburgh Steelers decide to sign Gabe Davis and he wants to go there, that could happen. But I wouldn't rule out him coming back to the Buffalo Bills. We'll see. From Gabe's point of view, right? That's where it is for him. Like, if there's an opportunity to play, come back to Buffalo.
He's setting yourself up for the next contract. That's what he's trying to do.
Yeah, he's going to want to do it. From the Bills side, the reason why I think they would want Gabe Davis back is it's competition to elevate the rest of the room. I don't think it has anything to do specifically with Tyrell Shavers or Curtis Samuel or Elijah Moore. I think it's the collective unit. You bring him in, you're adding someone who, and this is more important for me why they would do it, who they know. I mean, this is the guy who won their Iron Bill Award 2 years in a row, the hardest worker in the offseason. It's a guy that is a very willing run blocker that never comes off the field. Mm-hmm. Now, you as a fan might think those things should not matter. I'm here to tell you they matter to the Buffalo Bills. Those things matter greatly to the Buffalo Bills. It's a guy that you don't have to worry about every single day. Ever think about, is he doing the right thing? Is he working the right way? Is he practicing hard the right way? All of those boxes get checked. He's somebody that you drafted, you developed, and you wanted to keep, but he went somewhere for money, which there's nothing wrong with that. So when I get asked, why would the Bills want to do it? Those are the answers for me. And because, yes, I still think they're looking for their 4, 5, and 6, maybe number wide receivers. And if he happens to hey, you got to play some special teams. Fine. I don't know if he would fit that role, to be quite honest, but it's possible because that's what 5 and 6 wide receivers have to do sometimes. But I think it's because this is a familiar guy who they know could come in. Now, here's the question. The biggest question is Gabe Davis healthy? And even Josh said something interesting today. He said he's close to being 100% or he's close to being healthy. He said something like that. And from every indication I've gotten, Gabe's been rehabbing all summer. And the reason why he's been doing it on his own and not with a team, why would you go to a team when there's 90 guys on a roster? Everybody's got to share the training room and all the training staff. When you could do this on your own, get healthy, and then go to teams and say, I'm healthy. Do you want me?
He also owns his own performance center in Florida. So I'm assuming that he's getting some pretty top of the line treatment. You know, I did a story with him several years ago and went down there, and he definitely is taking care of his body. Here's a comment from Adam. It says Gabe Davis was on Shane Gillis' podcast saying he's still recovering from a knee and other lingering injury. And that was 2 weeks ago. And I mean, yeah, that checks out. Like said, I know that's exactly. So it just kind of confirms some of the stuff that was out there. And then go to the next.
That's why he hasn't signed yet, by the way. He hasn't signed, by the way, because of that. Like, that's what I think I'll go to the next comment. Hold on. The visit today for me, both for the Steelers and Bills, is exploratory. It's how are you? Let's check up on you. Let's see how your knee is doing. And if he is healthy, Matt, I still think he doesn't do anything. The teams don't do anything specifically until next week after rosters cut shakeout, because they want to see what else is out there as well. Let's go to the next comment. Go ahead.
Yeah. Why waste a roster spot on another wide receiver? Would the Bills be better served offering spots to better DB safety talent? I mean, it's a very fair point, but I don't think they're mutually like, correct. I don't think one means they can't do the other. Like, a lot of comments today have been, can Gabe Davis play safety? I don't think this team adding Gabe Davis to a very manageable contract has anything to do with them not addressing safety or going out and adding another safety. They have an open roster spot right now. If they sign Gabe Davis, it does not mean, okay, we are done. We are not doing anything else. I think this is a move to try and improve the offense and give themselves a little bit more depth. Now, this might be maybe my hottest Bills take, but it's one that I've had for a while, and I've probably said on this podcast, I think if Gabe Davis is healthy, the Bills beat the Chiefs in the playoffs 2 years ago. I really do. Because in that game, Josh Allen was chucking up passes to Trent Sherfield and Deontay Hardy. And that goes to the point of having depth at the wide receiver position matters. Because what if you have an injury to Keon Coleman or Josh Palmer, your two primary boundary receivers right now? How comfortable would you feel with some of the other options you currently have? Probably not great. I would personally feel a little bit better with Gabe Davis out on the field. That's not to say that he needs to be playing a ton. Like, somebody made the comment, Mac Collins played way too many snaps on offense last year. I don't think I would say way too many, but I could understand if you think he played too many. But like, that was because of the injuries. Injuries are inevitably going to happen. Amari Cooper got banged up, and like, you know, there's other guys who got hurt. So I just think having another person there who they trust would be valuable to them.
I look today, according to both SpotTrack and Over the Cap, the Bills have between $1.3 and $1.5 million available. That doesn't have to be the exact number, but let's just say they have $1.4 million available, right? Let's just keep it there. Just so everybody is clear on how this works, because I think I need to explain this. Let's say Gabe Davis signed a minimum contract. And I just said he'll probably do that wherever he goes because he's not making more than 11 and a half no matter what. And no matter what money he gets, it just minuses what he already got from the Jacksonville Jaguars. So he's going to say, all right, I'll sign a vet minimum deal. That's $1.2 million for a guy for his amount of year service. That $1.2 million, Matt, would not count right against the cap. Because of the top 51 rule, where only the top 51 salaries count, he would replace the 51st guy. They would bump down. I did the math today. A $1.2 million contract would count $200,000 on the cap right now.
There you go.
200 grand. That's it. Like, nothing. It's nothing. Now, that being said, Matt C says Bills don't need Gabe. Justin Simmons should be a Bill by the end of the week, bro. Well, as we just addressed a little while, Matt, and you probably weren't listening, but we'll say it again. I think Justin Simmons would cost a lot more. That would cost you more because you would replace a lot of guys that bump down, and the added numbers there and the math would cost you a lot more. I don't know if they could afford what Justin Simmons is asking for. And I don't know what that is, by the way, obviously.
Yeah, I don't know what that is either. And his name is the most popular name out there just because of the success he's had in the league. It sounds like it went really bad in Atlanta last year. Now, I don't know what really bad looks like, because really bad is still probably better than the options the Bills currently have at that position. But a lot of that will come down to, what is he asking for, and can the Bills even make it work? And what they think of Cole Bishop. Because maybe Sean McDermott is just trying to light the fire under Cole Bishop right now and get even more out of him, and they think he's going to be just fine. Like Terrell Bernard with those comments from a couple years ago. So maybe.
Okay.
I don't exactly know.
Hold on. First of all, two comments here. Jay Wood, the Bills are the only team with a negative cap. Why not talk about that? I will, because Joey's cleaning lady says Bills are $600K over the cap. Folks, they're not over the cap right now. You can't operate. You're not allowed to be over the cap. Their top 51 is all that counts right now. They're under the cap right now by a little more than a million. But projected out, their top 53, once they go to that, they will be 600 over is the way it works. That's next Tuesday. That's why you do, you make moves. Guys will be cut. Guys might be get restructured. As of right now, they are not over the cap. They can still sign people because you are not allowed to be over the cap. They're top 51. They still have room right now. I hope that makes sense to everybody.
It definitely makes sense. Yeah, I mean, they need to figure something out within the next week, but they don't know what their roster is even going to look like in the next week, because we're talking about players who could potentially get traded, who could potentially be cut.
I mean, let's just say they cut Curtis Samuel and take a $7 million dead cap hit. The $7 million is already accounted for. But they'll actually then save 450 grand on the cap. Like, that would actually come off the books. That's a $500,000. Let's say they release AJ Epenesa. I'm just throwing it out there. That's like $6 million they would save, actually, Matt.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's options. I don't think I know why you gave the examples you did. Right. I don't think either of those things are happening. But yeah, I'd also expect something to happen that we don't expect, because that's always the case. Like last year, if you went and did listen to a podcast from us a year ago right now, we were probably talking about Daquan Hardy being the kick returner and the punt returner, and then they traded for Brandon Codrington out of nowhere. So yeah, there's probably going to be something that happens with either them moving on from a player. Ooh. Maybe they trade an offensive lineman. That they don't think, like, maybe Ryan Vandermark can fetch them a pick if they think Tylan Grable and Chase Lunt are going to be their kind of backup tackles. And maybe they trade him for a safety that a team doesn't think is going to make the roster. Like, there's a lot of things that they could do.